The voice of the Blue Bombers one-on-one with Mike O'Shea. The Proline Gold Bomber Coaches Show on 680 CJOB.
Coaches Show is brought to you by DeKalb. They are ready to be your number one canola seed. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers ready to be the number one team in the Canadian Football League. He said in a statement only designed for parallel construction to the ad read, Bombers and Argos on Friday, a meeting of the top two teams in the CFL, except Toronto's doing some stuff with its roster, which we will discuss as we go through here. Head coach Mike O'Shea is with us. How was the bye week? Was it relaxing? Did you get from it what you wanted to get from your bye week?
Peace? No.
Oh, no.
It's tough. You go on a bye week on a loss, and it's, you know, changes it for sure, as it probably should. Yeah, I guess you hope it wouldn't. You'd hope you'd be able to, you know, figure it all out quickly, but you're just waiting to get the players back in the building at that point. You know, I think when you go in on a win, you got time, you give yourself a break, you get back in the building, everybody's good to see each other. It's all good to see each other. You go away on a loss and you just got to get back in the building. You know, you got to get the players back in. You got to get back in. And I know that's counterproductive.
Yeah.
The guys need time, right? They really do. Win or lose. The outcomes shouldn't dictate that. And they don't. We don't change our number of days we get off or anything like that for the players, that's for sure.
Zach Kolaris, we talked to him yesterday, and he said, I put my phone away for like 2 days, and I didn't. And I said, is that hard? Said, oh, yeah, no, I always want to be looking at football, and I wanted to be checking out this because, I'm kind of a junkie. But he said, I just put it away because he has to force himself to not be all football this time of year, which I feel like he's in the right job then.
He absolutely is. He's the best at it.
204-780-6868. Your questions, your calls, your texts for the head coach, Mike O'Shea. We'll talk about the big news out of Toronto, the 12-1 Argos, who before this past week had clinched home field advantage and basically the East Division. They're doing some stuff with their roster in advance of this game, are the reports out of Toronto, which we will discuss, and so much more, wherever you want to go. Let's go to the phone lines first up and welcome in Gregory. How are you, sir? Thanks for being with us on the Coach's Show.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, thanks. You're on with the head coach, Mike O'Shea.
Hey, Osh, you're on the rules committee, right?
I am.
Put this down for rules amendment. If you spear an opponent on the football field, automatic disqualification.
The Mike Awe one sticking with you, Gregory?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Grade 2 spear, 25-yard penalty, and he stays in the game. That irks me because I am a very, very astute of the American college game. Go Buffaloes, go Fighting Irish, go Boomer Sooter, Oklahoma. If you did that in the U.S. college game, that's a targeting foul and you're disqualified.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. You know, it got upgraded. They put that rule in a couple of years ago where the command center could upgrade a foul, a spearing penalty like that. And, I guess so far it's not an ejection, but I'm sure all of this will be reviewed. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of clips.
That really irks me as a CFL fan because I'm thinking if we're going to be preaching player safety, and on the telecast, one person was saying that that's football, and the other one was saying, hey, this is player safety, and the person who's saying player safety is the guy who put up 713 in the old stadium while I was on a Caribbean vacation a long time ago, said that we need to be talking about player safety and get that stuff out of the game, and disqualified. That really bugged me as a connoisseur of all things football related and stuff. So,
yeah, I would imagine that is on the docket for discussion, and it should be, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Gregory, did it itself bother you, or was the fact that Always already been fined 3 times this season for high hits, and this was certain to be number 4?
After I heard about that during the SportsCenter highlights and stuff, that's been his rap sheet. I'm thinking, he's starting to become like the Sean Avery of the CFL here. So I think that this is good. I will say, in my view, I'm surprised that I haven't heard anything from CFL HQ that he is basically missing one or two games because of his past history and transgressions of that nature and stuff, because he can't hit, he does not know the hitting zone of an opponent player, coined the phrase of your one Doug Brown here. So
yeah, well, Gregory, I mean, they announced the Pete Robertson suspension on the Monday of a long weekend, and it's now Tuesday, and we've heard nothing about discipline for the Stampeders middle linebacker Micah Awe. That's a very good point by you, Gregory. Thanks for being with us. Appreciate you.
Welcome. Cheers.
That, for folks who didn't see it, it was Tyler Snead of the Alouettes, and Awe with his helmet drills Snead right in the head, and 25-yard foul. And I believe the official said if he gets another one, he's going to be ejected. And as a fan, I thought, I don't know why he's still playing. I'm with Gregory. It was, there are some that are so awful to me that you just got to go.
Yeah. And I, for some reason, we're not at that point yet, but we're moving towards that. I imagine they took some pretty good measures in the last few weeks to let everybody across the league understand how games were going to be called. I think they've taken some pressure off the officials, the on-field officials. I think there's been, it's been a fairly long time that the officials have stated that ejecting a player is a pretty harsh penalty. They don't want to change the outcomes of games by ejecting a player. And the pendulum's starting to swing where it's going to happen more frequently. I got ejected in a game against Calgary. I hit Jeff Garcia.
Okay.
And we ended up into their bench. It was the first 5 minutes of a game. We ended up 15-3 that year, 17-3, won the Grey Cup. It was the first 5 minutes of the game, and I, one of the back judges came running up and said, "You're out of here, you're out of here," for the hit. And I was not fined. I did not receive a letter, nothing, because on replay, we were 2 yards in bounds.
Really?
Yep. They made a mistake.
Yeah.
Right. And I didn't spear him or anything like that. I just tackled him hard near the sideline. But the spearing is, I mean, it's got to go, right? That's dangerous. One of the things the caller talked about, but I'll just correct, you don't need to hit somebody in the head for it to be a spearing penalty. Yeah, spearing is all to do with the hitter's crown of the helmet.
Yeah.
Not whether they leave their feet, not anything. You know, do they drop their head, hit with the crown of the helmet on the opponent? Doesn't have to hit anybody else in the head. You don't have to leave your feet to spear. So there's a lot of that that becomes just football when two guys meet in the hole, right?
Yeah.
But
when a receiver's being held up, yes, by one guy and gets, yes, corked in the head, yes, by another guy.
I'm not defenseless.
No,
I'm
just
saying.
Just for folks who didn't see it, yeah.
We are, I'm sure, this offseason will be moving the needle to a safer area, I'm sure.
I think the one thing from what you said, the officials don't want to affect
it. They didn't, I said. It's been a period of time where they really didn't feel comfortable doing that. There wasn't the mechanisms either. 10 or 15 years ago, there wasn't a lot of reasons or mechanisms, rules in place to eject players.
Right.
And we've added more and more that result in ejection.
Okay.
But it's just historically, it's been hard because officials want to execute the game, calling the game as they see it, trying to make not the reason why teams win or lose.
Well, and that's one of the problems I have with the NHL is we don't want to take a player out or call a penalty because it'll affect the game by letting people cheat.
That's right.
You are letting them affect the game.
By letting someone stay in
and that
after
mentality
committed a foul like that.
Yeah.
Can be seen as changing the outcome of the game too.
Yeah, if, you know, if every pitch in this baseball game is called a strike because I don't want to make the pitcher feel bad for calling a ball, well, you're affecting the game by not by believing you're not affecting the game, and it's just it's a thing that gets me in officiating.
Yeah, there has to be way more responsibility for your own actions. I mean, when the NHL, when they changed the high sticking to you have to be in control of your stick, even if somebody lifts your stick up, you have to be in control of your stick. I mean, that was, I'm sure that was met with a lot of cries and anger, and now the game's probably a better game.
Yeah, there hasn't been a Brian Berard in a couple of decades in the Canadian, in the NHL. Yep. 7:15, we'll take a break. Your texts and your calls for the head coach, Mike O'Shea, 204-780-6868. The Coaches Show on 680 CJOB.
The Proline Gold Bomber Coaches Show on 680 CJOB.
Coach Mike O'Shea, I cannot vet this one as I'm reading it, so I'm going to read it aloud to you. It's from Chris. Coach says, you guys lost to Hamilton, a tough game. Then Hamilton had some sort of ailment against Toronto. Wow, they used up all their football skills against you guys. I'm with you, Chris. It is strange, football week to week. Chris asks, how do you think that will play out this weekend, considering Toronto beat Hamilton very easily? Not sure if you watched that game.
I did. How do I think what will play out? Our game?
Toronto using up all their football. Hamilton using up all their football skills. Maybe Toronto using up. No, oh, Toronto may be complacent and let their guard down, he goes on to say.
No, I mean, they're on a roll. You can see it. You know, when you watch their games, they're playing with a ton of confidence. You know, they approach every game. Every team approaches every game like you're going to win. You prepare to win. You don't take the field believing you're not going to win. Yeah, they're a good football team. So are we. So it's going to be a good matchup.
It got more/less interesting today. Reports from Toronto said that Cameron Dukes was the number one quarterback at Argos practice today and not Chad Kelly. One of the beliefs is that Kelly will still come, but perhaps not play at all or not play all the game. Cornerback Jamal Peters, linebacker Winton McManus were both limited in practice. There's a thought, a hypothesis, perhaps some inside reporting that Toronto is going to bring a lesser squad for the game on Friday. To you,
tell that to the guys that are playing. You know, they're not, they wouldn't believe they're a lesser squad. We would never think we're a lesser squad. You know, we've talked about this for a decade. You know, the guy who goes in is a starter, right? They're starters, right? You keep a whole pile of guys in your locker room that might not step on the field first, you know, for the kickoff or after the kickoff for the first play of O or D, but guys play. And when they're on the field, they're the guys.
They may not be MOP candidates like, say, Chad Kelly will be in the East.
Yeah, I don't think Cameron Dukes or is it Brian Scott?
That's the one, yep, you know, number five.
I don't think they would believe they're lesser quarterbacks. I think they would understand that they need experience. They need a little bit of time and some reps. And
yeah,
I believe they would be confident from preparation through the week that they're going to step on the field and help their team win a football game, right? If we don't execute and, you know, play to our standard, the games get tougher.
I was trying to find any example of a team having clinched the home playoff spot with six games to go, and the most I could find was Montreal in like 03 had done it with five games to go. So we're to some degree in unprecedented territory here. This is an enormous game. This is first place in the West hosting first place in the East. It's a Grey Cup rematch. Does Toronto, do the Argonauts owe it to the CFL to bring their full roster?
They've earned the right to make any, whatever roster decisions they choose to make. That's what you get when you finish, when you put yourself in first place. And they're going to do whatever they feel they need to do to set themselves up for their future run, right? I have no problem with it.
It takes a little shine. I mean, for fans, for broadcasters, it takes a little shine off it.
Do you think Chad Kelly's not going to play?
I don't know either. I don't know, but if you have him three days out from the game, not taking number one reps, I think he's not going to play the full game because I don't know. I've not seen a team do that and expect to play that guy a full game in four years of being a practice every day.
Do you think he needs the reps?
Oh, I don't. Here's the thing. I can understand if a broadcaster wants to say, no, you need to bring your full team. The NBA just went into this. I would have a tough time dictating to coaches how they should chase a Grey Cup. I feel like there's part of me that says you do whatever you need to do with your roster. If you're trying to win the Grey Cup, do whatever you want to do. It may not be best for everybody, but
yeah, like you guys said, this hasn't happened since 03 possibly or ever. However it works, whatever the numbers say. So
yeah.
I don't think it's something that the CFL has to step in and regulate. I don't know what's going on in the NBA. I guess some of their players don't show up on certain days or whatever.
National TV games, teams would rest, all three of their stars, or they'd be on the road in Minnesota and LeBron and Anthony Davis, the guys you paid to come see.
Yeah.
It got to be a real problem. Load management got to be a real problem in the NBA.
Well, I don't think that exists. I don't think that problem exists. I think they put themselves in a position to be able to make whatever decisions they want to make, and they're going to do what's best for them, and we're going to play whoever shows up.
I like it. Let's see if we can get Gary in before we hit the break. Gary, thank you for your call. You're on with the head coach, Mike O'Shea.
Hey, Mike, when I called you last week, I forgot to mention in your last game, the last 5 minutes of the game, you went into the hurry-up offense. I thought it went quite well, and I'd like to see it maybe use it again or against the Toronto to throw their defense off. And secondly, I'd like you to use the double tight end offense once in a while to draw everybody in the box, and that would open the field up for Schoen and Lawler and Dembski. I think you could burn Toronto big time. And my last question I only have one question. Did you get your wife's honey-do list done?
The honey-do list is back.
Yeah.
You know the old saying, happy wife, happy life.
Yep.
I have heard that once or twice.
Probably from your wife, too. Have a great game this Friday.
Okay, thank you very much. Those are big instructions. Use hurry up, use double tight. Take care of whatever's on the list at home.
It caught me in game number one. I think it was the first two times you guys came out in double tight end. You guys threw the ball out of it. And I'm like, well, this is a run formation. They're throwing the ball out of it. And then I went back and looked and went, oh, Buck did that last year too. There you go. Here, we're throwing out a double tight because we can do anything out of these formations.
You can do anything out of those formations. You can. We operate well. Running a faster paced offense too. I mean, it's something that we've worked on for years. So we feel very comfortable. The guys feel very comfortable doing that at the end of the Hamilton game. It was a nice change of pace. We've used it throughout the year. And we've been very effective with it for a number of years now.
Yeah. In situations where, oh, this might get reviewed, let's get on the ball and we're there as fast as you could. That Hamilton drive was impressive, right? Because they're right on the ball. It's blown in, boom, it snapped. It was because time was ticking. And you're like, okay, this is really well done.
Yeah, the offense does well. Zach does it really well. The guys are sharp. They all can play across the board, so they don't need to move around a lot to line up. They can just take someone else's spot and run the play like that.
Yeah.
Which is when you got smart guys, when you have smart players like that. And you work it, you practice it for those situations, and it doesn't always show up at the end. You might use it at some other point. But I think there's certainly games where we've been fortunate enough where we're trying to use the clock rather than conserve it.
204-780-6868, your direct line to the head coach, Mike O'Shea. Barry, if you'll hang with us through the news, you'll be first up on the other side on the Coach's Show at 680 CGOB.
The Proline Gold Bomber Coaches Show on 680 CJOB.
Coach's Show brought to you by DeKalb. They are ready to be your number one canola seed. We are ready for your texts and calls at 204-780-6868 with the head coach, Mike O'Shea. Mike, I know you've seen some Jets hockey. Give me a Jets player that could play in the CFL. You'd be like, I would give this guy a try. He's tough enough to give him a shot.
It's Adam Lowry for sure. I mean, even before the C, you know, the way he plays the game the right way. That's all you want. You want a guy who plays the game the right way.
Yeah, I kind of figured that would be where you would go. I like it. It's 204-780-6868. That's where Barry got us. Barry, thank you for your patience. You're on with the head coach, Mike O'Shea.
No problem. Hi, DT. Hi, Coach. Well, Coach, you've been on the rules committee for quite some time, I think. So you must know the rules better, if not as well or better than anybody else. Are there any weird rules that we've never seen implemented? Like last year, people seemed surprised to hear how much limited time players could practice in full gear. And also, is there any rule that you're pushing for that isn't in place now? And one quick goofy question, is there any more up-and-coming politicians on your team? I'll hang up and listen to the radio.
Any future politicians? Brandon Alexander, if he ran for something, I would vote for him. I think Brandon Alexander's got it. Any rules that you're pushing for? Eliminating the rouge, perhaps?
No, okay. Never. That would be a neverism for me. I would, and I know that's a long time, but that's how long I would, yes, choose to keep the rouge always.
Okay.
Never get rid of it. Gosh, yeah, I've already submitted some things. You know, we do a good job of keeping in contact with the head of officiating, and you know, we talk on a weekly basis and, you know, you're seeing all the games, you're seeing stuff that you like or don't like, or things that you think will make the league better. You just have to keep in mind that you're not, you know, you're never talking about those things as this will help the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And I know that might sound strange, but you have to do what's best for the league. You have to put that team allegiance aside and think about what's really going to bring the league forward. So
you didn't campaign for 5-point field goals when Medlock was the kicker, 5 points for 50 plus.
No,
that would have been,
I would hope that I've never campaigned for anything that was, you know, only relevant to our team. That would feel not good.
How do you believe things like punters now are restricted to punting inside the 15, the hash marks, things that have happened in the last couple of years, anything stick out to you as particularly good, particularly
well, the
bad?
Moving the hash marks was something we tried to, hoping it generates offense and more excitement in the game. I mean, these are things, I don't know that that's actually a rule, is more of, I can't even think of the word, you know, a change that's, you know, you're trying to get, move the needle on the game, mm-hmm. right? But it's, I don't know, I don't consider that the hash mark thing a rule change, right? The punting part, you know, moving the punting limitations from the 20 to the 15 increases field position. You know, well, punters have gotten really good.
Really good.
Really good.
The 15, every no yards, virtually every no yards is 15 yards.
Yeah, that's makes sense because people were finding the loophole in the rule, which, you know, was an unintended consequence. We had to fix that.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's, people would argue, we tried doing that probably a few times and people would argue that it seems steep, but they were just limiting returns by standing over top of the returner. And we weren't using the mechanism to give them a 15 yard penalty for doing that, for hovering right over a return. So we want returns. We want excitement. That's a part of, you know, there's no fair catch. It's a beautiful part of our game. Let's get them returning. Let's make the penalty very harsh so that people, you know, and I think it's people, teams have adapted to that very, very well.
Yeah. I don't think of many no yards penalties happening in the games.
It's coachable. You can coach it. You know, there are situations that happen, you know, and guys are trying to time it up, you know, and they happen. We've got some no yards penalties this year, but for the most part, you know, why would we ever want to limit returns? And teams had found a loophole and used it, which was disappointing, really.
It's always going to happen. The second you make a rule,
I've done it too. You know, in other situations, but
yeah, and yeah, we've seen some things in practice. You're like, oh, he's got that's coming too. I like that. That's smart. This is things. Every time you make a rule, someone's going to find the best way to get around it. Brian is with us on line number one. Brian, thank you for your call. You're on with the head coach, Mike O'Shea.
Hi guys, Mike. During the Hamilton game, when we missed the field goal and they returned it for the 2 points there. Around the 50-yard line, I saw number 24, Hamilton, holding a player. Did you catch that?
I think it happens on plays. Probably wasn't that egregious. And there's you can't challenge that. You can't challenge a non-called illegal block or a hold. I'd already was probably out of a challenge anyway because I lost the Kenny Lawler incomplete pass challenge, so I didn't have anything. But you can't challenge that anyway. And do I think there's some holding that happens on special teams or on plays during the game? Yeah. And I do think there are missed calls, but it wouldn't be good football if it was officiated that tightly. And I mean, it's football. Get off the block, right? Like, be physical, you know, free yourself up. So I don't know in particular which player you're talking about. From our team, but there was nothing on that return that I looked at and went, geez, they really blew that one. There was nothing on that return.
It was around the 50-yard line.
I was more disappointed, you know, the fact that we didn't look like we were hustling as hard as we needed to make the stop, right?
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks.
All right, Brian, thanks for your call. Appreciate you being with us at 204-780-6868. It's also where you can text us. Ken did. It says, hey, DT, I just read that Chad Kelly will not play. Both running backs out. Others may not dress. The CFL scheduler is messed up. The game's a sellout, but we won't see the Argos' best players. Any comments from you or coach? Ken, I have some thoughts on that, but the fact that you play the Argos only one time, having met in the Grey Cup last year, and that... We talked about the part where they'll bring their whatever roster they bring, but what do you think about playing the Argos only one time this season?
Well, the push, I think, from the CFL standpoint was to have more divisional games that mean more, right? I mean, I'm not saying that an interdivisional game is meaningless by any means, but you want these rivalries. Would you rather see us play Toronto twice or Saskatchewan more? Well, those are heated rivalries, right? I get the fact that we played in the Grey Cup, or in last year we played them once.
Correct.
And Andrew was there, but the schedule's set. They don't know that Andrew's going to sign in Toronto.
But if what I want is home and home against everybody, and you play another divisional opponent three times, like twice, you put opponents.
They had that before, like a couple of years ago, that's what it was.
Yeah.
And 3 years ago, whatever, that's what it was, 4 years, whatever it was. And they were trying different things to create more buzz.
Yep.
And so I think every year there's going to be a game where in hindsight, everybody says, oh, you missed that. Schedulers, you missed that opportunity. Every year that's going to happen. You know.
But it wouldn't have to be, right? If you went home and home with everybody, then Andrew Harris might retire never having played back in Winnipeg. That's a... but from a sell in the game perspective, Bo Levi Mitchell didn't bring Hamilton to Calgary this year. Cody Fajardo and Montreal didn't play in SAS this year. Paul Lapolice wins the Grey Cup with you guys in 19, goes to Ottawa. I remember the 2020 schedule didn't have Ottawa coming here. He didn't come here in 21 with Ottawa. And you go, these are just attention grabbing layups right in front of the CFL. And I want them to just make these layups and run back. Just take it. Bo Levi Mitchell at Calgary week one. Boom. Amazing. Not having it.
Well, when's the schedule made and when did he?
He'd already been traded by the time the schedule came out.
But he hadn't signed.
Which fine.
He hadn't signed there. So
true, but if you go home and home against every team, you're covered, right? Fajardo back in SAS getting just savaged by the Riders fans.
I don't think making a schedule is that easy.
Oh, it's certainly not.
You know, you're dealing with venues and soccer teams in Toronto and
Toronto's got, like, Toronto having three byes in the first 9 weeks, first 10 weeks. Oy.
Yeah. It's not easy. I just don't think it's as easy as everybody makes it out to be in terms of making a schedule.
One off season, I'm just going to sit down with my computer, and I know they
generate
do
a schedule more advanced send it into than the this league and
be like, here you go. Let me help just so I can find out that it is 50 times more difficult than I actually believe it to be. It is 7:44. We'll continue on the other side with the head coach, Mike O'Shea, the coach's show on 680 CJOB.
The Proline Gold Bomber Coaches Show on 680 CJOB.
It's brought to you by DeKalb. Right now, save up to $50 a bag on DeKalb canola seed. Terms and conditions apply. 204-780-6868 for your calls and texts for the head coach, Mike O'Shea. Alan says, hi, Coach O'Shea. What is the status of Janarian Grant and his expected return? And I only bring this one up because we saw Janarian today.
Flying around.
He was ripping. This
yeah,
was,
he looks great.
He did some work yesterday, and today he ran some sprints, and I went, oh, okay, I assume he can go faster than that, but that is as encouraged as I've been as an observer going, oh boy, he could be back soon.
Yeah, he looked good. He should be back soon.
Okay.
The date, I do not know that, but soon.
It would be Bomber fans are waiting for that. Teedrick Hansen comes off the 6-game injury list this week. He was in practice the last couple of days. How does he look?
Yeah, he's working out the kinks, that's for sure. He's in great shape, physical shape, and now it's a matter of just getting him out on the practice field and getting him back into football. You know, he had quite a bit of time off, but boy, it's nice to see him out there running around. I think he's having fun.
He was all smiles yesterday when we talked to him after practice, just getting to be back out there after more than a year on the sidelines. He is very happy to be back again, doing what he loves to be doing for a living.
Absolutely.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Welcome. And Sandra is with us on line number one. Sandra, thank you for your call. You're on with the head coach, Mike O'Shea.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Not bad, Sandra. How are you?
Not too bad. We're trying. It's like, what are you going to do? Like, you don't want to injure anybody or anything right now. It's too valuable right this time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're doing a pretty good job anyways.
Well, the it's pretty easy, I got to say. The guys know what the expectations are. They work hard for each other, and I think they like coming to work every day, as the coaches do too.
And how's Chef Coat doing?
He looked good today.
That's good. Are we getting a few guys back off our injured reserve?
I hope so. For their sake, too, right? Nobody likes sitting around when they want to be out working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like Big Hill. I enjoy his spirit and all that.
Oh, he is. Yeah, he's quite enjoyable. I'll say this. I'm not sure anybody knows this, but I like him, too.
You know what? Because I'm in the same boat as he is, because I have a cleft palate.
Yeah. He's done very well in terms of bringing awareness and fundraising. You know, he's a terrific ambassador.
I know what it's like to be made fun of, and when that the lady did that thing to about his boy, it really made me mad.
Well, I think it made everybody mad, and Biggie took it upon himself to rectify that situation.
I was just wondering if I can somehow, maybe if we could get something autographed from him for me, or no?
I would suggest go by the Bomber store and see if there's someone there who can give you a hand with that, Sandra. They are excellent at making things like that happen, and Adam Big Hill is as good as it gets for things like that. So I drop by the Bomber store if you can.
If I can, that's the only thing. I never get there. That's the problem.
Oh, you should see all the stuff that gets. They got jackets and shirts and socks and scarves. Winter is on the way. If you do, that's probably the best chance for you, Sandra. Thanks for your call. We appreciate you being with us at 204-780-6868. There was a moment, I was waiting to interview Adam Big Hill today, and you and he were in a conversation about it could have been clouds or whatever, but I'm like, man, what you two could be talking about as linebackers in the Canadian Football League. Just my mind went nuts. I'm like, that's probably six levels above what I would understand, but they could be talking about anything.
I wish I had him as a coach.
Really?
Oh yeah, he's very smart. He does things that I'm like, oh, I never even thought about doing that. So, yeah, he's awesome.
Which that fascinates me because you played for a long time and made a lot of tackles. Did you do things that he can't do? Does he do things that you couldn't have done? Like, or is it just generations of athletes?
He's just really good at his craft. And, you know, you watch him trying to get better every single day. I just think that kind of leadership is excellent.
Yeah.
You know, I think his teammates can see that. He works at his craft. He works to get better, even though he's been talked about as being one of the best ever. And he is.
Yeah.
But he's, how do you do that? You try to get better every day.
And yeah.
I mean, it's a simple formula. Hard to execute. It's a simple formula. Try to get better every day. But mere mortals that you and I might be, talk about me.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, are we doing our best to get, are we trying to get better every single day? It's tough to have that mindset. And he does. He's got it. It's pretty cool to be around.
Yeah, it is. I got a chance to talk with him today. And when he starts unleashing football talk, I'm like, okay, this is really good. I always feel better informed and educated when I talk to Adam Big Hill for a time. Gosh, we talked about it on the coaches show the other day. Maya Turner making some history for the University of Manitoba, kicked a game-winning field goal on the same weekend I had to pull her name out. Haley Van Voorhees was the first woman to be a non-kicker in an NCAA game. Women are taking over football, Mike, and I love it.
It's good. It's good for the game. It's good for the game. I appreciate the significance, the magnitude of that point, of that field goal, the first one she kicked. It's groundbreaking. It's really cool.
Yeah. I talked to Sergio Castillo, and I just said, I don't think people know how hard it is to make a 32-yard kick. And that, like, Sergio does it 95 times out of 100.
Yeah.
She nailed all five of her kicks. I'm like, I could, there was no point in my life where I could do that because kicking is hard. And she made it look super easy. It was a great story for the University of Manitoba and for Maya. Hopefully things keep on going for her. Toronto Friday.
Yeah.
Sold out already.
Truth and Reconciliation. I think I get to wear my orange hoodie. Maybe I'll get a new one.
Oh, yeah, you could probably hook that up at the bomber. Just go to the bomber store.
The old one is a little more snug on me than I'd like, but that beautiful logo on it. Yeah.
So that exists for you too. Okay. Guys who appear to be in shape have that feeling too. All right. It is a 7 o'clock kickoff, 5 o'clock pregame show. The Argos, whoever they're bringing, and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, the two top teams in the Canadian Football League, meet Friday right here on 680 CJOB. Thank you for your calls and texts on the Coaches Show on 680 CJOB.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.